Hey, welcome into the Big Ten Huddle. I'm your host, JR. I've got a lot to talk about going on in the Big Ten. We've got some power rankings to get to, and I got my guy, Kent, Casual Big Ten, here with me to talk about it all. We both have our power rankings tweeted out. We've both offered them up to the public for them to go after and talk about and tell us how stupid we are with them. So if you want to tell us how stupid we are, by all means, go in the chat, tell us everything we got wrong in our power rankings, tell us, because I'm sure everybody believes we got something wrong. But it was a pretty crazy day with a number of things that happened that could really shake things up in the power rankings, and so I'm excited to talk about it all. Kent, how was your day of watching Big Ten football?
It's just one of those days that you tell your grandchildren about, I feel like. It's like, you know, there was this October Saturday back in 2024, and there was multiple overtime games, and my favorite teams were playing, and I didn't do anything but watch football all day, grandson. And you know what? All I can hope for in life is that you have a Saturday in October someday like that. It just was a fantastic day across the board. I know your team lost today, so sorry about that, especially because it just happened. It's tough to get right on and start talking about stuff like that, but just a really fun day. I love this conference. I love this conference. I love football. It's just such a great time of year. By the way, one correction from what you said. I have not tweeted mine out yet. That was actually a good reminder for me, so I appreciate that. I'm going to do it right now as you talk in this next part.
I just figured since you had already messaged them to me and everything, like, you were all good and you had tweeted them out. But
I was still waiting for the end of that Minnesota game. Just in case something had to happen, like, because everything that I sent you was in case Minnesota won, because I assumed that they would. Yeah. And it was getting a little bit hairy there. And, you know, might be some controversy at the bottom of the rankings, as always. Yeah. That's always the most contentious part, I feel like, the bottom of the rankings. Who's the worst?
Right, and that's kind of where things switched up the most for me in my rankings today. Obviously, you have number one Ohio State losing to number two Oregon in the power rankings. So for me, I just swapped the two of those. I know there might be some Penn State fans that disagree with me and want to tell me that Penn State is undefeated and they've done this and they've done that. The truth is that Penn State really hasn't done anything to make me believe they are overall a better football team than Ohio State. Ohio State, for as many faults as there are for what happened tonight, and that's always my hardest thing with Ohio State fans. One of the reasons why I kind of like doing a Big Ten show better than an Ohio State show at times is that you got all these Ohio State fans telling you about how awful the team is and how terrible it is. And, like, I get it. You lost, but you're not a top, you know, you're not a team that's outside of the top five. You're not a team that's outside of the top 10. Like, this was a really, really good game between two really, really good teams. Do I think both teams made mistakes? Of course. But that game came down to somebody sliding at the end and trying to call a timeout as they were sliding. And, you know, we can get into the semantics of the referee did this, the referee did that. I'm going to hold true with everything I always say. I did the same thing with Rutgers. I did the same thing with USC. I did the same thing with Minnesota. Don't blame the refs. The refs are always going to be awful. They're always going to get something wrong. They're always going to do something wrong. It's always going to be controversial. It happens. Don't put yourself in that situation. If Ohio State wanted to win that game, they should not have put themselves in that situation where they needed the referee to call the timeout at the right time, or they needed a referee to not call an offensive pass interference call. Now, because it was that close, I keep Ohio State over Penn State. But overall, you lost to a good team tonight, and you were on the road. It happens, you know? Don't fire Ryan Day over it.
Yeah, they won't. If he loses to Michigan this year, they will.
Well, yeah.
I feel like people are going to force him to be fired. Like, fans, I mean, when I say people, they're going to march into the administration building and say, That's enough. That would be enough. But I don't foresee that happening, obviously. About tonight, though, man, just kind of echoing what you said a little bit here, I feel like not only was this two top five teams, I'm going to take it a step further. I don't care if this is bias or whatever you want to call it. I think those were the two best teams in the country that we just watched. Mm-hmm. Like, legitimately, I would not be surprised if I tweeted that. I said, I can't wait to watch this in the national championship game again this year, which I guess I should have said, you know, maybe the Big Ten championship, because that's going to come first. So, yeah. But my point holds true, though. I think that these are the two best teams. I think that some of the other teams at the top have all shown major, major flaws. And minus, like you said, a few like careless mistakes at the end of this game, I feel like we showed that these are the two best teams in the conference and arguably, depending on who you talk to, the two best teams in the country. And I'm not joking about that.
Yeah, I mean, I think the only other team you could really make a case for is Texas.
Indiana.
Indiana. Yeah. But is Texas is the only other team you could make a case for right now to say they're one of the best teams in the country. But even then, you're talking about 1, 2, and 3. Like, you are small little minute things there. And of course, Texas got their win over number 18 ranked Oklahoma. That is the most overrated team in the nation right now. Number 18 ranked Oklahoma. That team is terrible. Why in the world are they ranked? There's such SEC bias to have Iowa is better than that team. Minnesota is better than that Oklahoma team they're trotting out there right now. That team
maybe.
The point is they're terrible. Okay. They do not deserve to be ranked in the top 25 at all. So, I mean, it's just, it's mind boggling to me that Texas is going to get credit for beating number 18 ranked Oklahoma, but you know, it is what it is. I've resorted to just like whatever the AP poll is going to be wrong and they're going to do stupid things. It is what it is. So, all right. I want to take a moment and talk about Oregon though, because this team struggles against FCS Idaho to start the season. They have offensive line troubles. They correct them against Michigan State, but they also had defensive troubles going against Ashton Jeanty, who is fantastic. By the way, we saw more of how great he was today, but then they do a good job of holding Quinshon Judkins and Travion Henderson in check. Like, we can talk about like, oh, Ohio State screwed this. Ohio State did that. Like, they should have done this. They should have done that. At a certain point, you just got to give Oregon credit and say Oregon was a darn good football team tonight, and they did a really, really good job taking care of business. And that to me is why I'm with you, Kent. If I'm ranking them tomorrow, Oregon's the number one team in the country.
Yeah, I think so too. And the crazy part about this game is like, so this week going into it, I had talked about how I thought that the under was like a massively like that was a good play, I thought, going into this game, because I was like, both of these defenses are great. It's going to be one of those like old school Big Ten games, even though both of the offenses are good, too. And the line was really high. It was like 54. And I know you don't talk about gambling a lot, but like it more talks about the defense, though. Like, I'm more talking about the defenses, how great that they could have been. And now I'm confused. I'm like, are these defenses both really great? And the offenses are just better? Like, how are there this many points scored in this game? But at the end of the day, like, I can just kind of kick my feet back up and say, this is just great football on both sides from both teams, and you can just enjoy it. And you don't really have to argue about which unit is better on each team. You can just say, hey, this is really amazing football, and, like, so lucky that we got to watch it in primetime tonight. It was awesome.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Sonny coming in saying Oregon number one, Texas number two, Ohio State number three, then everybody else. I could not agree more, Sonny. I think that Penn State definitely had that opportunity today to take the number three spot. I think Georgia definitely had that opportunity today to take that number four spot. But you have Georgia struggling against Mississippi State. This is Mississippi State. They got blown out by Toledo earlier this year, and they're struggling to beat them only by 10. They let Mississippi State score more points against their defense than Toledo allowed them to score. Like, I'm sorry. There is no reasoning out there anybody can give me to say, other than wins and losses, because one person has a zero in the loss column, then the other person doesn't. There is no reasoning out there other than that you can tell me Penn State and Georgia deserve to be ranked over Ohio State. It's just,
but it's interesting though. Like, I would love to talk to Sonny about this, and I will. I'll text him about this. But you can't drop people down after a win either, though, if they looked bad, I feel like. And that's something that I thought about, and I mentioned Sonny because, like, I thought about that with the rankings with Illinois. You know, when we get into that part, like, they went to overtime with the worst team in the conference, one of the worst teams in the conference, and like, they still won, though, so they get the job done. And if you're going to defend that for Illinois, which I am defending that for Illinois, that's why I didn't drop them down in my power rankings, you have to say the same thing about Penn State, too. Like, they have taken care of business. They're still undefeated. Like, they got the job done. They went on the road. They went across time zones, which seems to be impossible in this conference, it's really hard to go across time zones, right?
Other than Penn State.
Yeah, not Penn State or Minnesota.
Or Minnesota, yeah, the two. Minnesota is the time zone killer in this conference.
But Minnesota's got the Sprite drugs, though, so that doesn't really That's count. True. They're kind of cheating.
They got the antidote.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Ryan that Day doesn't really count.
Some antidote for
but
his
no, but in all seriousness though, like I kind of like I'm definitely not jumping Penn State over Ohio State. Like if that is what you're like, no one's gonna do that. No one's gonna
That's what I'm saying. That shouldn't happen in power rankings, that shouldn't happen in the AP poll either.
No. I agree with you on that. We're on the same page, I think.
Yeah. So let's talk about Illinois for a little bit. We'll just kind of go down the line and talk about them all. Illinois struggles against Purdue today, overtime. I guess we could talk about Penn State if we want to. I'll give my thoughts really fast and then we'll move on to Illinois, unless you have any, Kent. But Penn State today, like they got down early. I think that they deserve a lot of credit for their resilience to come back in that game. They come back and they tie it and they go into overtime. The missed field goal by USC in overtime, that's a heartbreaker, but, you know, it is what it is. He misses the field goal, and then Penn State takes advantage of the opportunity. They score, and the game is there. So, I mean, they scored a field goal, but and then the game is there. So, I mean, you definitely give Penn State a lot of credit for the resilience, but I didn't see anything from Penn State in this game that made me say, like, oh, yeah, firepower-wise, discipline-wise, like, this is the number two, number three team, or the number two team in the conference, number three team in the nation. I just didn't see anything from Penn State to put them over Ohio State for me today. That's a good win because I think USC is better than the 13th ranked team in the conference, but that's the way they're playing right now, so I can't put them any higher than that. I think USC has more talent than that, but it just is what it is. So did you have any further thoughts on that?
No, just the same thing. Like I'll repeat it a little bit, but like kind of what you just said, like they didn't do anything like impressive enough to jump Ohio State or Oregon, whoever would have lost in that game. Now, if Oregon or Ohio State would have gotten blown out tonight, then they went on the road. They're still undefeated. Maybe I jumped them ahead of one of those teams. But with that game being so close, and coming down to the wire and Penn State, like taking a USC team now that I am starting to feel like just cannot finish games, period.
Yeah.
Unless they're playing Wisconsin for some reason, which again, like everything in the Big Ten, it's like they show stuff and you're like, okay, I got a beat on this team. And then they have a week where they have an example of where they did the exact opposite. And you're just like, oh, okay, whatever. But for the most part, USC just can't finish games. And, you know, Penn State took advantage of that, but they did what a good team should do, and they went and got that win, came back and got that win. So they kind of just stay where they're at, like kind of like what you said there.
Yeah, I agree.
I will say this, though, one other thing about Penn State, and I know it's not power ranking related, but I'm looking at their schedule now, and, you know, we did this, all like everyone did this in the summer anyways, but like Ohio State is the real only loss. Like, and I'm not even saying that's for sure, because I think that's going to be a good game. I'd still give the edge to Ohio State. And then the next one on the list is now at Wisconsin, which is, I believe, in 2 weeks. So they got a bye, and then they go at Wisconsin. And Wisconsin's looking better. But if they can get past that next road hurdle, which is Wisconsin, and even if they lose to Ohio State, like, we're talking about a playoff team right now. Like, despite of like how much they win games by, they're in the driver's seat to get into that 12-man playoff conversation, which is pretty great for them. Like, all the talk about James Franklin not being able to make playoffs, they expanded. He's right in there. First year, that'd be pretty impressive.
James Franklin just has to win the games he's supposed to win, which, granted, he does normally do that, but you got to see it happen once again. So you're exactly right. Even if they lose to Ohio State, and it is at home, this is still a playoff team. This is still a team that is probably ranked at least ninth in the country and is going to make the playoffs based off of that. So I definitely wouldn't overlook Wisconsin. We'll talk about them here in a little bit because they are looking much better, and they did have a good win today. But at the end of the day, it is what it is. So, all right, let's talk about Illinois. So Illinois, they get out to a big lead against Purdue. Then they kind of fall asleep. Purdue comes back, and Purdue looks like they're going to win this game, and they actually gain the lead in this game. And then Illinois goes down. They tie it. They go into overtime, and then Illinois takes care of business from there. This is a really interesting game, Kent. I tend to agree with you that, like, yes, there were issues, but I'm not going to drop Illinois. One of the biggest reasons is because Illinois does have that win over Nebraska at Nebraska. So it's hard for me to drop them under the under Nebraska, which I get it. That's difficult because I just put Wisconsin over USC. But that was also a game that USC won at home, so I see that a little bit differently. However, at the end of the day, like, this is kind of a conundrum, because if you dropped Illinois to, like, say, below Iowa, I wouldn't really argue with you, but I feel like they should be fifth, and you obviously agree with me. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, that was the tough part for me. Like, you know, I know I'm going down to Iowa right now, and we have them in the same spot. But I did debate that, though. Like, Iowa's so impressive against Washington today. I was a little low on them last week. I kind of admitted that on the show. And then about 5,000 people on Twitter admitted it for me after I posted it on there and said that I had them too low. So I heard you guys loud and clear. And I jumped them up a lot this week. I think I had them at 12 last week and put them all the way up, back up to 7. And even, like you said, kind of debated, like, okay, one of my, like, criteria is who I think would win on a neutral field. And I'm not really sure with Nebraska or Illinois if they could beat Iowa on a neutral field right now. I'm not positive about that. You know, if I'm just basing it off today, I'm definitely not positive about Illinois, because I thought Iowa was way better than Purdue and they got taken to overtime by them. But, you know, you got to kind of take the whole season into account and all the consideration of, like, what would actually happen in that game. And, you know, Illinois has done enough this year in my eyes to stay in front of Iowa, who, like I said, I was a little down on last week, starting to lose hope, and they got me right back after this big win. So, that's an interesting part, though. Like 5 through 8, 9, like, it starts getting really interesting in the middle, obviously, but, like, especially 5 through 7, you know, Nebraska being off today and then Illinois with the struggles and Iowa being so good, it's like, it's kind of hard to rank that, but I'm glad that we had it the same, though.
Yeah, when we get the biggest difference is when we get to Washington, because you have Washington all the way up at 8th. I have them all the way down at 12th. I don't believe that win over Michigan is as impressive as some people are giving it to them. This is still a Washington team that I gave them the credit because they got the win. And honestly, I probably wouldn't have dropped them so far if they were competitive with Iowa today. But this was a team that was not competitive at all with Iowa. And this is an Iowa team that has lost to Iowa State and Ohio State, with which granted are now both top 10 teams. But still, this was a team that was not competitive against Ohio State. I guess you could argue in the first half they were by the score margin, but I still think at the end of the day, this was a game that nobody had in question that Ohio State was going to win. And then you have basically Iowa doing that to Washington today. So Washington, great job at home getting the win over Michigan. But at the end of the day, you're going on the road. You're trying to get the win elsewhere. I think they got exposed a little bit today. And I think that we figured out real quick that if you can guard their, or if you can man up and you can guard their wide receivers, Washington's going to be in big trouble.
Yeah, so this was a tough part. Like, I feel like it's all tough. But I tried to get into the, you know, nitty-gritty with this part of the, this is where I felt like I kind of messed up last week. So I wanted to make sure that I got this right. And I feel like I did, but that doesn't mean that I did for sure. So when I look at Washington, you just mentioned it, the win against Michigan is their most impressive win. Everybody I have behind them, like, that's close, is Wisconsin, Michigan, Rutgers, and Minnesota. That's kind of who I had. Like, I'm debating who's going to be in that 8 spot.
Right.
I don't know if any of those teams have a better win than Washington. Like, I'm not sure that they do. Like, if you pick one of the teams, so for example, let's just talk about, like, Minnesota. Like, do you think that Minnesota's win against USC at home was better than Washington's win against Michigan? And if you do, why do you have Michigan ahead of Minnesota then? Like, I feel like you should probably drop Michigan back.
So I have Michigan up there because they didn't lose or anything today, and I felt like I couldn't really drop them, and so I had to keep them ahead of Minnesota. So for me, Michigan beat Minnesota, so I'm trying to keep them above them until something else happens to try and, change that somehow. And then I had to jump Iowa over Michigan because I felt like Iowa took
Of
care of
course.
business, albeit at home, but still they took care of business against a Washington team that Michigan couldn't do that against. And so for me, I feel like USC is the more talented team, even though they haven't put it together. And so Minnesota was able to come in and take care of business, even though they lost big to Iowa. This was still a Minnesota team that was leading Iowa at halftime. This was a team that some people thought, oh my gosh, they could take down Iowa. Now, obviously, Caleb Johnson happened. That's a completely different thing. And Minnesota, they aren't loving it from there. But I felt like this is a Minnesota team that is resilient and they are doing everything they need to do. Maybe I do give them more credit than they deserve for beating UCLA. UCLA is not a good football team. I have them 16th. You have them 18th. Maybe I'm giving them more credit than they deserve for that. But I still look back to that North Carolina game at the beginning of the season and still say Minnesota should have won that game. And I don't know. Maybe I'm holding on to it for too long. But Minnesota should have won that game against North Carolina, and they'd be sitting here with one less loss in their loss column. And I think if they did win that game, many people would be looking at them differently. But maybe I'm crazy. I believe in Minnesota a little bit more than I know I believe in them more than people on Twitter do, because I get every time I give Minnesota any kind of praise, it's like, JR, what are you doing? Minnesota sucks. But I don't think they suck.
Yeah, I might have I feel like it's always the 12th spot for me where I in retrospect, I look back and I say maybe I should have moved them up a little bit. But I look at this though and I go maybe in front of Rutgers, because again, I look at Rutgers, they've been impressive, I thought, at the beginning of the year. And then I look back at it and I'm like, they haven't really beat anybody
Yeah.
significant. So I don't know why
They beat Washington.
well, okay, yeah, I forgot about that.
And that's
You
one
know
of the
what? You
reasons
know
why
what?
I
You know
put
what? I
Washington
forgot
lower
about
was
that.
because of Rutgers.
I forgot about that because in my mind, I still have that as a Washington win because they played so well in that game. With all the yardage and everything. Anyways, that's stupid of me. But yeah, I definitely did forget about that one. Okay, so Washington, yes, good win. I still feel like I'm giving Washington credit for that. I don't know why I'm
Yeah.
doing that, but I am. I
You're
don't know.
my. I have Minnesota as my kind of team. That's like, no, guys, they don't suck. I promise. You have Washington, and you're like, no, guys, they don't suck. I promise.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, Iowa beat them both badly.
Yeah.
So it's I don't know. Maybe Iowa's way better than we're giving them credit
Yeah.
for. I don't know. But
Well,
we both have Iowa in front of both of them, so.
Philip seems to think so. Philip is saying that Iowa is way better than Indiana and Illinois. These teams are benefiting from not having to play Iowa this season. That's a very interesting point, Philip, and I can't say you're completely wrong. I will say I do feel pretty confident in the Indiana pick at four. I know they haven't played a tough schedule, but they've just looked very impressive in their games that they've played, and they are getting to the meat of their schedule now with Nebraska, and then they're going to be facing Michigan and Ohio State. So we'll soon find out about them. But for me personally, I get where you're coming from, that on paper, Iowa could be the better team. They just haven't played them yet. And honestly, if somebody ranked Iowa over Indiana and used the idea of well, they only lost to Iowa State and Ohio State, which are both top 10 teams, I couldn't really argue with it that much. I look at Indiana and say they've won impressively against every team that they've faced. Yes, they've not been great teams, but
Philip must live in California. I'm only two states away from Indiana, so if I put them any lower than four, they'd be down here quick and after
be
me.
coming after you.
You got to be far, you got to be five, six, seven states away from Indiana if you want to rank them lower than four.
Yeah.
You got to be a good distance away so you can get a running head start away from their fans. You
Right.
can't put them lower than four right now. They'll go crazy.
That's true. That's true. And it kind of leads to what you and I were talking about a little bit earlier, which is it, with Illinois, bad performance against Purdue today. You could put Iowa above Illinois and say, look, Iowa, they might have two losses, but those two losses are to better teams that Illinois has even faced this season. So, and Illinois just struggled to beat Purdue.
That's also true. I'm not saying Phillip's wrong, by the way.
No, I know what you're saying.
I kind of, more lean towards agreeing with him, but I just can't do it yet because Indiana's 6-0. So
I
you
just go
can't.
back to it and say, if they are better, They'll prove it here in a few weeks. Like, exactly. These are power rankings, right? I'm not predicting what is going to happen at the end of the season and who's going to be the best teams. If I was predicting that, this would look a whole lot different.
Right.
But the fact that I'm just saying, hey, these are the teams that look the best right now, that are playing the best in these areas, there's a good argument for Iowa to be higher than seventh. I get that, but
I'm not predicting it either, but anyone that wanted to push back on my rankings would say, well, part of your thing is the neutral field thing, so you kind of are predicting it, which
that's true.
You is are, a good yeah. argument, and like as soon as I think of a comeback for that, I will tell you.
Brainstorming right now as you speak.
I'm thinking of it.
Let's talk about Wisconsin. Ken, yes. Wisconsin with the big win over Rutgers today. So that was huge for them. Rutgers did not look anything like themselves. Greg Schiano's program right now is kind of reeling with whatever they're going through. It was a really, really difficult thing to watch for them. Athan Kaliak-Manis, he's not, you know, the most accurate quarterback in the world, and he wasn't helped by drops from his wide receivers today, so that was interesting as well. But as far as I look at it, Wisconsin did a great job of stopping the run, and if Rutgers can't run the ball, Rutgers isn't going to win.
I'm just like back, I'm like almost all the way back on Wisconsin, like completely. So they lost me in week one when they were down in the, I believe, fourth quarter, but definitely the second half against Western Michigan and punted. They were punting in the fourth quarter. That's right. Against Western Michigan, they were punting in the fourth quarter, losing the game. And they ended up coming back and winning that one. And I was like, man, this team's not very good. This is going to be a long year for them. And the last 3 weeks, I have completely done a like 180 on their team, and it even goes back to a loss. Like, I can still find, you know, hidden gems in a loss. Jumping out on top of USC 3 weeks ago, and it felt like they were in command of that game, and then USC does what they cannot do and comes back and finishes a game. For some reason, they did it against Wisconsin, and then for some reason it's escaping me who they played Purdue last week, obviously. Yeah. You know, it was actually less impressive last week, I thought, against Purdue. You know, I thought that was like kind of a given.
Well, yeah, Purdue's not a very good team, and they beat them, 52-6 or something like that. So they had, you know, a good job of blowing them out. But Rutgers,
like, anyone can beat Purdue by more than 1 point, right?
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Right, Sonny? No, I'm just kidding. No, but that wasn't really impressive. I really thought the USC game was more impressive. And then obviously today, like, I was on Wisconsin. I bet Wisconsin. I was like, I think they're going to win this game. They're going to go on the road and get a win. They're playing pretty good right now. And I was not expecting that, though. That was a really impressive win by them. They are starting to turn the corner, and I think this is going to be a team that you do not want to play down the stretch. That's why I just mentioned it with Penn State. Like, I don't think Penn State is going to just go up to Wisconsin and pick up an easy win. Like, that's going to be a really tough game for them now, and I did not think that was the case a month ago.
Yeah, it's going to be. You're exactly right. I can't really argue with you there. I was trying to think of something to like challenge you on with it, but I can't really argue with you there. So, this Wisconsin team is baffling how at the beginning of the season I had them like for sure the bottom four of this conference and saying like, you know, oh, they're definitely down there. But then you get their performance against Purdue, which, like, yes, it is Purdue, but still, blowing out a team is blowing out a team. Like, that shows that you were an excellent team that day, and you worked in many facets of the area or many facets of the game, and where you were not very good, you were very good in other areas to make up for it. So, you know, credit to them. Something that Illinois should have done today, but they didn't. However, I believe in Illinois, so I'm going to keep them at number 5 in my rankings. But then when you look at a team like Rutgers, I mean, I almost wish I would have kept Rutgers down where they were before, because I feel like I would have looked a little bit smarter keeping them down there. However, in this situation, they lost last week, and I moved them up and thought, oh, okay, well, they're a better team because they beat Washington and yada, yada, yada. And then this week, they lose to one of the bottom four teams in the Big Ten in Wisconsin, and Wisconsin is moving themselves right on up the power rankings. Kent, if things don't get better for Rutgers, Rutgers might be looking at much further down in the rankings. They might be looking at being bottom four themselves if they keep losing this way.
Yeah, I feel like you're a little bit better than me. I feel like you have the schedules memorized, so I just had to pull it up. The good thing for them, though, is their next game is a week from today, and it's UCLA. So an easy win for them to get back on the horse and get back on the winning ways for Rutgers. And but yeah, I don't know. The rest of their schedule is like, you know, they don't have Iowa, they don't have Ohio State, they don't have Michigan. They could still get to 9 wins. I think they could still win 5 more. I think they could still win 5 more. And that's a great season for them, I think.
They certainly can. I mean, I'm not doubting it. I'm just saying if they keep playing the way they played against, you know, Wisconsin today. Nah.
I think that today was more of a one-off than what we're going to see from Rutgers the rest of the season. Because they're just tougher than that. They're tougher than what they showed today. I just cannot believe that that was the Rutgers team that we're going to see for the rest of the year.
If they cannot run the ball, then I think this is what we continue to see, is what we saw today. If they can't run the ball. If they can run the ball, then I think they'll be much better. To me, with Rutgers, it all comes down to that running game. Can Kyle Manungai run the ball? Is the offensive line good enough to help him run the ball and get the efficiency he needs? Because one of the reasons why Rutgers was so great to begin the year was because of their offensive line play. And they were able to wear teams down, even though it wasn't like a blowout at halftime. They were able to wear teams down and against teams, even when they were trying to come back. In Washington, Virginia Tech, the other team was so worn down, Rutgers was able to keep the lead. And unfortunately for them, they ran up against a Wisconsin team that was able to mitigate that. And props to Wisconsin for that. All right, number 13, USC for both of us, Kent. This is a team in USC that honestly should be higher than this. They have more talent than this. But they lose to Michigan on the road, albeit. They go down at the half against Wisconsin, but they do come back and win that game. So we have to give them credit there. However, they lose to Minnesota, and then they go out today. And they give Penn State a good fight. I actually debated putting Wisconsin or putting USC higher and putting them behind Wisconsin, but it was like the antithesis of what happened against Wisconsin, where they got down early and then they came back. Well, against Penn State, they got up early and then they faltered it away. Yeah. So for me, like, I think USC is definitely better than 13th, but that's kind of where I have to put them at this point.
That's how I feel the last like 2 weeks that I've ranked them is like, there's no way this is how low USC should be, but it is. You have to start winning some of these games. Like, I'm just not, you know, like you said, where's the wins at? Where's the wins that are impressive? It's just, they're just not really there. It's the LSU game and not even really sure how impressive that win was at this point, I guess. I don't follow the SEC as much as I should probably, but you probably know that better than I do. I don't know, man.
LSU beat Ole Miss tonight in overtime. But
did they really? Wow. Yeah. You know what? Move USC up to number one for me if you could real quick. Could you do that?
I cannot. No.
Okay, darn it. We'll leave him at 13 for right now then. No, that actually shocks me, though. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah. Well, LSU's pretty overrated themselves, so I wouldn't.
Yeah. I don't know. You just look at the teams that are in front of USC, and it's, for me, it's like some teams that beat them and some teams that I'm very confident would beat them. So there's just nowhere for them to go but up for the rest of the season. I think, like, the teams I have behind them, Michigan State, Northwestern, Maryland, Purdue, and UCLA, I do not foresee any of those teams jumping USC. So I think that this is their floor. But I don't know where their ceiling is, like maybe 10 at this point. Like, I don't know, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they definitely can move up higher if they win some games. And like I said, there are going to be some people that probably do have them a little bit higher purely based on the fact that they that they took Penn State to a really close game today. And there's going to be some people that move Penn State down because of a really close game today. And that's actually what Trevor is vying for right now. And right now he says, but you still have Penn State and Illinois barely survived. Why are they the same still as last week? Well, Penn State, I went over this with people on Twitter, and they, you know, they just act like I'm crazy. I'm not crazy. It's actually very valid. Penn State has beaten better teams than Indiana has beaten. Indiana's wins in the Big Ten right now are Northwestern, UCLA, and Maryland. For me, that's number 15, 16, and 17. And I get it. Like, Penn State, doesn't have a whole lot of great wins in the Big Ten themselves. I'm trying to remember who they are. I know they just beat USC, obviously, today. And then
they have the West Virginia win. Obviously, that's not Big Ten, but that was
right. And then they beat UCLA.
At the time, that was something.
Right. And then they beat UCLA, which at the end of the day, they should have beat them by more. I get that.
They beat Illinois. They also had Nick Singleton.
Yeah. Right? And they beat Illinois. So I guess if you want to say Illinois moved down and Illinois is fraudulent, then yeah, you could. But for me, Illinois beat Nebraska. Illinois beat, and I know Kansas isn't doing super well right now, but still, they beat Kansas. And overall, like, this was the first time I saw today that they look like, you know, a terrible team. I think Illinois has been a good team all season long, and they just they started beating themselves a little bit today. It's unfortunate, but their only loss is to a number four team in the nation in Penn State. So, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, if it happens, or if it's destined to happen, it will happen. But as far as I'm concerned, it hasn't happened yet. So I'm not gonna overreact and say, oh, Illinois struggled against Purdue, so I should put them below Nebraska. No, they beat Nebraska, and guess what? Nebraska struggled with Purdue as well until the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I think Trevor's question is valid, but
no, I'm not saying it's invalid.
No. I know you weren't. But I think his question's valid. But like, my response to that would be a question, which I know is not, you know, the correct way to respond to a question, but I'm still gonna do it. Who do you put in front of them? Like, you have to take a team, and right now I think the only team that you could even argue for is Iowa. Like, Iowa, I could see their only Big Ten loss was to Ohio State, and that's a valid loss. And then the Iowa State loss, which we're now learning is, you know, a pretty good team. I don't know what they did today or if they even played today. But, you know, as far as their two losses, I can see that, but it is still two losses. And Penn State barely won, but you know what? If I'm a fan of a team, I would rather have six barely wins instead of two good losses. Guaranteed right now. That's what I would rather have. And that's why I can't see anybody that would jump them. Like, you can't put Nebraska in front. You can't put Illinois in front because they lost literally to Penn State. And I don't know who you could jump in front of Illinois right now. Like, Nebraska, who was on an idle week. Maybe Iowa. I don't know. I just can't see anybody else. Wisconsin, maybe even Wisconsin, you could argue. Like, their loss was to Alabama and then USC, but the USC loss is like, can't put them in front.
Sonny asks a good question. He says, both of you have teams on your board. How many of them would be 6-0 with Indiana's schedule? Sonny, honestly, I can't argue you too much and say Nebraska wouldn't be 6-0, Illinois wouldn't be 6-0, Iowa wouldn't be 6-0. I mean, heck, at this point, Minnesota might be 6-0 with that schedule. Michigan would probably be 6-0 with that schedule. It's just, for me, it's not only the fact that they won, it's just in the manner in which they won. I mean, the team they struggled the most with was with Northwestern, who just completely dismantled Maryland this weekend. So it's imperfect rankings. I get it. And I think you make a really, really valid point, Sonny. For me, though, I just have to go with the results on the field. You have any thoughts on that, Kent?
Yeah, a couple things. Like, first of all, you think Oregon can beat FIU? Are you nuts, dude?
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Yeah, I don't know about
maybe
that.
Maybe at home.
Definitely not Oregon. We'll start there. No, you know, Minnesota is a good one to, like, talk about. Like, would they be 6-0? Here's a comparison game. They both played at UCLA. Indiana won 42-13, and we just saw what Minnesota did. They won in the final moments with a touchdown after they were losing. So, yeah, maybe Minnesota would be 6-0 with this schedule. Maybe. But they're not better than Indiana, though. So that's why they're still higher in the power rankings. I don't know, man. I think there's probably I would say nine. I think, like, the top nine that I have, I think, would go 6-0.
I guess
I wouldn't even put Michigan in that category. Michigan struggled with some pretty bad teams this year.
But would they be as dominant as Indiana was?
I definitely not. I do not think so. I think so.
Maybe 6 or 7 of them would be, but
as far as, like, all the teams. I thought you were talking about specifically Michigan.
How many of 1 through nine would be as dominant as Indiana was against their schedule.
I think it would be, you know, the top three and maybe Illinois and Nebraska. I wouldn't even put Iowa in that category because, like, they've struggled against some, like, lower competition. I mean, they were losing to Troy at halftime. Like, come on now. Like, they're not going to dominate people. They're not going to blow people out, even though they just blew out Washington today. Again, another one-off. Like, just like what I was talking about with Rutgers. Like, I don't think that's the Rutgers team we're going to see. I'm not positive that's the Iowa team we're going to see all year. I don't think they're going to just start blowing people out every week. Still a good team, though. Still a really good team. But I think that just the top three would be blowing people out as much as Indiana has done, and maybe even more, probably more with those top three.
Yeah, maybe Illinois.
Maybe Illinois. Yeah.
But Illinois also struggled with Purdue today. So I don't know. We'll see. All right. Sunny says, not arguing Indiana shouldn't be number four. It's just an honest question. I don't think they're a top six team by the end of the season, but right now you're right. The schedule helps. Yeah. No, I think you just had a good question there, though.
Yeah, I like that question. That was a good question.
Talk about Sunny. So good question. We got Blue Wolverine here. He says, hello, everyone. Hello, Blue Wolverine. Thank you for being here. We appreciate that. We also have Trevor says, Indiana is about to have a challenge versus Nebraska, but I think they can get it done as it's being a home game and a sold out crowd, which is funny because TT on Twitter is saying Nebraska will beat Indiana easily. I think this is one of the most fun parts about Indiana being good is you have, you know, the thought process of new Indiana and people who believe in them like me. And then you have the thought process of like old Indiana. It's like, nah, the schedule just stinks and they're not actually that good. And I love it because we're actually going to find out now, as Trevor was saying, we're actually going to find out now in this game against Nebraska. I mean, if they go out there and they blow Nebraska out, like, this is definitely a top four team. Like, I don't think there's any arguing that if they blow Nebraska out, but if Nebraska comes in there and wins, like, you know, Illinois and Nebraska are both probably moving up after that. So
you're saying that, cause again, I don't have the schedules memorized. That's at Nebraska, you're saying?
I think it's at Indiana.
Oh, okay. Sure. Well,
correct me if
I'm wrong. Let's go to that game. Let's just go to the game. Let's see it live and in person. Who wants to go? Anybody in the comments want to go and buy two tickets?
Yeah, I'll be at Indiana. My family members have Indiana season tickets, so maybe I'll have to twist their arm to see if they can get me some seats for that game.
Get two. We're going. Awesome. Yeah. We're going. You heard it here first, folks. We're going.
There you go.
We have to know which team is better, and I got to see it in person. There was one comment. I know that you're doing the comments right now. I want to go up. It's been a while, but I just have to repeat this. It was Brendan Fender. He said that Rutgers – what did he say here? It was way back up here. He said that UCLA is not an easy win for Rutgers. I just want to reiterate, yes, it is.
It should be an easy win.
It will be. For Rutgers. I'm calling it. It will be.
But UCLA's rush defense is actually one of their strengths. So
yeah, but UCLA's rushing is the worst. The worst. Do you know there's like nine guys in the conference, individual running backs, that have more rushing yards than UCLA?
Yeah. There's like nine. Their quarterback was their leading rusher for a good amount of time, and then TJ Harden played Oregon, and then he became the leading rusher, which is part of the reason why I thought Ohio State was going to beat Oregon, but, you know, credit to Oregon, they figured out their run defense. But, yeah, so, I mean, I don't know. I feel like in this new age Big Ten, like, even the teams that are at the bottom, I'm like, yeah, that should be an easy win, but maybe it's not. Like, I feel like at this point, I'm just like shaking my head at some point being like, anybody can win other than Purdue. It should be an easy win. But then we see what happens with Illinois today. And it's like, if you don't come prepared, it's not going to be an easy win. So
I'm going to say that like the most impressive thing about UCLA is that their players like were battling tonight, like, and haven't given up on the season yet. That's impressive.
Yep.
And besides that, there's nothing that I love about that team.
Yeah. All right, Ken, we put in a solid episode here. Let's talk about the bottom five really fast, and then we'll get out of here. I have Michigan State, Northwestern, UCLA, Maryland, Purdue. You have Michigan State, Northwestern, Maryland, Purdue, UCLA. So you have Maryland a spot higher than me. You also have Purdue a spot lower than me as well. I believe a little bit more in UCLA than you seem to. I just think, man, I know it's Friday night, but like that Maryland team just looks so awful against Northwestern. Like, what in the world? Mike Locksley should know. He should be fired in the month of October. There is no reason why he is as bad as he is in the month of October. It is absolutely ridiculous. But give credit to David Braun and Northwestern, and that's what I had to do here and put him up at 15th.
I put Maryland ahead of the bottom two, as I call them, is because they have the Virginia win. And, you know, UCLA and Purdue, they don't have a Virginia win, you know, and I feel like that's the only reason I really put them ahead. Like, I still don't understand how they won that game, and I didn't watch it. So I'll be honest. I'll be frank with everybody. I did not watch that game. I don't know what I was doing that day, but that's maybe why I don't know how they won it. I do
Which
not
game
understand.
Again? Which game specifically?
I'm talking about Maryland going out to Virginia and winning that game.
Turnovers. Maryland excels at getting turnovers, and Anthony Calandria is a really bad quarterback when it comes to throwing turnovers. Like, think of Aiden Childs, but worse.
I looked it up yesterday. Virginia was number one in the ACC.
Yeah.
It's the ACC. I get that. But, like, any number one team in any conference, like, one of our worst teams beat them? Like, that's crazy, I think. So, anyways.
Do you remember when Michigan State was number one in the conference?
In this conference?
Yeah, they were 1-0 after they beat Maryland, and they were the only 1-0 team.
Oh, you're talking about like the standings. Oh yeah, of course I remember that. What a great time that was for Spartan fans. Yeah, no, that was great. So I put Northwestern a little bit higher, obviously. I guess. I mean, not than you, I guess. I mean, that's probably where they should be. Maryland I put higher because of the Virginia game, and then I actually just bumped up Purdue strictly based off. I know we talked about this with all the top teams. Like, you shouldn't bump somebody up after a loss or bump them down after a win. But, you know, Purdue took Illinois to overtime. What has UCLA done this year? I just can't, like, everyone keeps on telling me, like, they have great athletes. It's a new coaching staff. I get it. Like, win a game. Like, you beat Hawaii barely. And Hawaii stinks to high heavens. So I don't know, man. Like, I just can't get around this. You got to get some wins here and there. Like, being impressive at home against a team that traveled two time zones. Don't forget, Minnesota went two time zones.
I guess my response would be, what has Purdue done this season? And then the other part would be Maryland. It's October, so
okay. So what? Let's talk about that for real though. Like, what's Purdue's win?
An FCS team, Indiana.
Okay,
State,
and then is Hawaii FCS or are they like lower than that? Because they stink.
They're Mountain West, so they're technically
five, but they still stink. And then they went to, like I said, they just went to overtime with Illinois, who I think very highly of. So they both have the one win that neither one of them are impressive. And I still think, honestly, I thought UCLA should lose that Hawaii game. I don't know if you watched that one or not, but they should not have won that game. They played terrible.
Well, yeah, they definitely should have lost against Hawaii. Yeah. They came back later and
won. They shouldn't have a win right now. And I feel like if they didn't have a win, it would be unanimous that they were at the bottom.
Yeah, it's just UCLA has looked a little bit more competitive in certain games, and Purdue is just going to be completely blown out. I still just think back to Notre Dame destroying Purdue and Wisconsin destroying Purdue, and Illinois was taking care of business against Purdue, you know, earlier today, and then, you know, they started coming back. So it's pretty crazy to think about. But
I just had a really good idea, and it's going to take me just 1 second to look it up. But like, here's what we should do: if they both play next week, which I'm checking right now, if they do, so Purdue plays Oregon next week. Okay.
Friday night. Yep.
So keep that in mind. Purdue versus Oregon. And then we have who was I just talking about? UCLA. Does UCLA play next week? They play Rutgers. Okay. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to have Purdue and UCLA play instead, and then Rutgers and Oregon play. I don't know if they already played this season or not, but let's just switch the schedules.
Much better for TV numbers.
Yes. Yes. And if I feel like everybody would be on board with that. Why can't we just switch the schedule a little bit mid-season? And honestly, I think the numbers would be great for the Purdue UCLA game. Like, we really need to figure out who's worse.
Yeah, I'll
make some calls
make sure
for me
next time. Yeah, next time at Big Ten Media Days, I'll pull Tony Petitti aside and say, "Hey, when we get to like week eight, like let's just start switching around some games. Let's make some better TV games." Honestly, I don't think he'd have a problem with it. He'd be like, "You're right. We make more money on TV." So,
yeah.
All right, we've gone completely off the rails at this point for the Big Ten Huddle Power Rankings episode. We're also streaming on the Voice of College Football as well. We want to say thank you to anybody who is over there at the Voice of College Football listening to us. We are going to be back again tomorrow night for a full recap. We'll talk about each and every game and talk about what happened and what our thoughts are. It's going to be me and Zach. Zach couldn't be on tonight, but he will be back Sunday night, and then we will have a preview episode on Tuesday, and then we'll have a basketball episode on Thursday. So check back for Power Rankings episode every Saturday night after everything is over. Sunday night, Tuesday night, and Thursday night, you've got your recap, your preview, and then a basketball episode. Things might change with the basketball episode once the season starts, but that's what we're going to be rolling with for now. So thank you so much, everybody, for watching. We appreciate it. Kent, you have anything else to get to before we get out of here?
Nope. Just excited for, next week now, I guess. I don't know if it's going to be as good as this week. It can't be, right?
Probably not.
Probably not. Probably not. But, hey, I'm still excited. Still excited. We'll see you next week, though, buddy.
Yep. We'll see you next week. Thanks, everybody, for watching. Appreciate it. Have a good one.